place like that is where there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. I'm going to read to you a scripture before we receive an offering tonight. This scripture is found in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10 and 11 and 12. And the reason I want to share a little bit with you so you understand when we take an offering here in this place, this offering goes right to the Nehemiah Fund. And I want to tell you how we got the Nehemiah Fund and how it came about. We know that the Lord was wanting to establish singers and musicians and people that would pray for our region called Michiana. We knew that we wanted to set folks aside to really contend for His presence and for an open heaven over Michiana, an open portal over Michiana. And so God instructed us to do that. That's part of who we are as a ministry, to establish day and night worship in His house, in His temple. Now the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of you if you've accepted Jesus into your heart. So He dwells within you. But there's also specific instruction about coming together and gathering together and not forsaking that, and to set a place aside. You say, well, you know, we can go pray in our closet. That's true. That's good. I want you to do that. I encourage you to do that. But there's something about setting a place aside for the purpose of worship and prayer, especially for our nation, for the nations, and for our region. I can tell you, because we've set this little room aside as a house of prayer, that people have walked in here and sensed and felt the presence of the Lord strongly, have gotten healed, have walked right into the place and started weeping, didn't know why. And it's not because of us, it's just because of God and us being willing to pray and to ask the Lord to come. Now listen, we've contended for this for a long time. And I can tell you this, that Satan hates the house of the Lord. He hates any place that would try to usher in worship and prayer before the King of Glory. And he'll do everything he possibly can to distract you and distract me from the place of worship and from the place of prayer. And he'll use a lot of good things to keep us from the best thing that God has for us. And I want to encourage you tonight in the Lord and tell you that, you know, you're on a journey, I'm on a journey, and I want to encourage you to stay in that place of intimacy with Christ. Stay in that place of passion. If you lose your passion for the Lord, you need to just ask God, help me, whatever it takes, get my passion back. Because when you lose your passion, you move into the place of passivity. You become passive about the things of God. You're no longer on fire for the things of the Lord, because so many trials and so many things have weighed you down and keep hammering at you, and you've been discouraged. You've had faith, and the enemy will come and sow discouragement in your life. Well, the Lord says, if you'll get before me, if you'll seek me, if you'll draw near to me, if you'll make sure that that is a priority in your life, He says He will draw near to you, and He will see you through anything. This battle is not about getting a name for ourselves. It's about exalting the name of God, not our name. And I can't tell you, I'm pretty saddened by times in my life where I've been so selfish and so self-centered and so prideful. And the Lord has desired to take me into the place of the wilderness so that He can speak to me and break me and show me exactly the ugliness that's inside of me, that I want nothing to do with it anymore. I just want Him. And so to get back to why we're receiving an offering, is because I believe that people are going to come from all over to sow into this house of prayer. We've had so many prophetic words about this region, about this area, about God moving in on Michiana and transforming our region. And by faith, I believe He's going to do it. And He's going to do it through the young and through the old, through those who are lost that get saved, through those who are downtrodden that all of a sudden they have victory in Christ, to those who have given up, to those who are suicidal. And He begins to speak to them and lure them into the place of His love. Last week, we had Londa speak about the love of God And when she was speaking, she said something. If you get your value in anything other than the love of God, you're being misled. Your full value of who you are comes from the love of God loving you. And I tell you what, that hit me and that hit several people. It hit my son. And he felt some rejection later on during the week from someone. And I was concerned about him because you know how you care about your children. I was concerned. I said, hey, you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine. He said, remember what Londa said, Dad. He said, when she said, you find your value in the love of God, then it doesn't matter what comes against you or who rejects you. And then he said this, and I really like this because it really got me. He said, if they reject me or somebody rejects you, because the love of God affirms who I am, I'm not looking for the affirmation from other people, then it's between those who reject you, it's between them and God. You see what I'm saying? If somebody has hurt you or whatever, you've just got to learn to be in the place of love where you're not offended at them and you can lay it down. You can forgive them and say, listen, I'm affirmed by the love of God. It's between them and the Lord. And so they're going to have to make things right before they meet God if they want to reject me or say something against me. Doesn't that take a whole different look of how you live your life before God? How you desire, like, hey, it's between them and God. And you're just valued because you know his love. This might be the longest message of offering I've ever done in my life. But even while I was up there, I was sensing that God was saying, let them know how much I desire for them to be in my presence. Let them know how much I desire them. Let them know how important my house is. Let them know how important, and I believe I heard this, Jerusalem is and Israel is. It's a sacred place set aside. God is returning to that land. That land was the promised land. And in the same way that the Israelites left Egypt and went into the wilderness, they left the place of slavery to enter into the wilderness so that they could learn really how to be intimate with God and how to trust God in the midst of all things so they could enter into the promises. Because once you receive the promises of God, if you don't trust him in the place of the wilderness, how are you going to steward the gifts and the promises God has for you? But they didn't learn that lesson. They wandered around for years and years and years and years. I feel like the Lord is saying, we need to learn that lesson. We need not to be those who complain and those who murmur. But we need to be those who really trust in what God says about us, not what somebody else says about us. And sometimes not what you say about yourself. You need to know how he loves you and what he's willing to do on your behalf. Do not fall into the temptation of being a complainer. In Nehemiah 13, 10 through 12, this is what it says. The house of the Lord was being established, and the singers and the musicians who were supposed to be before the Lord ministering to him day and night, night and day, they had quit doing that and they went into the fields. There was a guy by the name of Tobias and Sanballat that really desecrated the house of the Lord and the temple of God. And so Nehemiah ran those guys out. He was cleansing the house of the Lord. And he says, I also realized that the portions for the Levites, the singers and the musicians who were supposed to minister before the Lord, the gatekeepers, all those folks, follow me on this, that the Levites had not been given them, the portions hadn't been given to them. For each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to the field. What did they do going back to the field? They went back to work. They left their post. Let me give you a little background on that. 8 different times that the house of the Lord was established with singers and musicians and those that intercede, and worship was in the throne. 8 different times in the Old Testament, Israel prospered and was blessed when worship offerings were going up to the throne of God. Every time they stopped doing that, Israel went into a terrible state and was destroyed. The Lord is saying to you, he's saying to me, he's saying to our nation, Will you come away from the light of TV and come into the light of Christ? Will you come from the light of media into the light of Christ? Will you desire to dwell more in my light than the lights of so many distractions? Will you come back to me? Will you worship me? Will you honor me? Will you pray? Will you set time aside in your busy schedule to be with me? A passion to know Christ, a passion to worship Him, to love Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, to proclaim Him. And you get into a place of hunger and desire with God because His presence brings you into a place of hunger. And you can respond to every circumstance that comes your way on the road of life based on who He is in you and who you are in Him. And then your circumstances no longer dictate your outcome, but the love of God dictates your outcome and leads you forward into who you are, no matter where you're at or what you're doing. The church of Jesus Christ is a bride, a beautiful bride who's made herself ready for her bridegroom king. It's not about doing church. It's about being with Him and seeking Him first above everything. You guys are amazing folks to come out on a Tuesday night to seek after the things of the Lord. And my heart is nothing but to encourage you in the ways of God, not the ways of this world. Not to condemn you, because God wants you to be courageous and He wants you to know that there is no condemnation in Him. That He loves you right where you are, and He knows what He got when He came into your life. So those singers and musicians and Levites went back to the field. And so Nehemiah said, I contended with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? Why? He contended with the rulers. He contended with the leadership of that day. Like we would contend with the leaders of the church in this day. Or people, and say, why is God's house forsaken? And then look at this. And then he says, and I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then all Judah brought the tithes of the grain and the new wine and the oil to the storehouse. Basically, once the singers and musicians were set in place, the Lord brought in all the tithes and offerings, and they sustained singers and musicians and gatekeepers so that the Lord would be praised day and night, night and day. I'm shouting this out because this is our way. Our way is a way of worship. Our way is a way of prayer. Our way is a way of intimacy. Our way is a way of the Word of God. And God has the Lamb of God has a divine plan. He has a plan that He wants us to follow and be aware of at the end of the age. And He knows that He's going to allow things to shake, 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 till we finally get it that we have no security in any government. We have no security in anything but Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's what He wants out of our lives. And He will allow things to get us that way. And people are just running away from the truth of who Jesus really is. And Jesus is all through the Old Testament. He's everywhere in the Old Testament. Jesus is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, crying out for you and crying out for me. Jesus is coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a loving God, but He's coming back as a warrior. He's coming back to deal with sin and unrighteousness. He's coming back to deal with pornography, child molestation, sex trade and slavery and abortion. Don't you see? His mercy and His grace has went on and on and on. He's so long-suffering in His love, hoping that we'll change. Giving us time to come back to Him, to know Him. And I encourage every one of you, don't look for affirmation in a local church. Look for affirmation in the closet of prayer and worship with your God, or a walk in the woods somewhere, or a walk on the beach, or driving your car. When we come together in truth, it's an extra added thing in the church. But my concern about you and about me is that you know Him so well that you can deal with anything that comes your way. And that you create a culture around your life, in your home, in your car, in your workplace if you can, a culture that's a kingdom culture that understands that God is coming back to rule and reign. And I'm going to be part of that. We release a sound in the house of prayer or in worship services on Sunday morning. We release a sound that goes up to the heavenlies and it releases things. When we started worshiping in here tonight, I guarantee you that the Lord's heart and his ear was tilted toward each and every one of you. And I believe sometimes we just get in the habit of worshiping. We don't understand. God is listening to your heart. He loves to hear your voice and your praises. This Sunday, I fly out to Israel. And I cannot believe how the Lord orchestrated it. And how he set it in motion. And I'm going there with Ray Hughes, who is a historian, who is a musician, who is an author, who is a man of God that knows the word and knows all about worship and prayer. And I'm going there with 180 folks that are all worshipers and worship leaders from Jesus culture, from all over the United States of America. And we're going there and we're all learning our music. We're all getting our lyrics. And there's 180 folks that's going to show up in Israel. And we got to tell them we're there for a tour to get through the gate. But we're there on a mission. And we're releasing a sound of singers and musicians from all over the United States that are called to release a sound in Israel. God has done this. Because it's that time. It's that time. We end up in a cave underneath the Temple Mount that archaeologists have found that many believe is that true upper room. And we're releasing a sound. 180 musicians in a cave. And we're releasing it on 12-12-12. 12, 12, 12, which is the number of God's government. Because he is going to govern the whole world. He's going to govern every nation. And we're releasing this sound so that God can begin to move because he moves when we cry out. This is an amazing thing that God's doing. Because it's through a song. It's through a love song. If you're not lovesick for the Lord, then you'll run away from it. But if you get into the place that you become lovesick for God and he begins to touch you, I could feel his presence in here tonight. Maybe some of you could, maybe some of you couldn't. But I encourage you, you fight for the presence of God. You fight for getting alone somewhere that you can just sit and be still and you begin to hear and you begin to listen. You begin to experience him. I believe that on 12-12-12 in Israel, something miraculous is going to happen. I believe that God has orchestrated this. The guy that is our tour guide, and I might have shared this before, but I'm going to share it again for some of you. The guy that's our tour guide, he's an archaeologist. But he's also born and raised in Israel. This guy, in the 1967 Six-Day War in Israel, was a tanker. Our archaeologist that's leading our so-called tour. And he was in a tank. And a missile hit his tank. And he died. He died. And they put him in a body bag. And a few days later, they were tagging him. And his arm moved. This is a true story. And his arm moved. God brought him back to life. God resurrected this guy after this Jew had experienced Jesus in the heavenlies. And he came back a born-again messianic Jew from death. This is our guide.
Netanyahu uses this guy as his personal bodyguard many different times through life. He's older now. And when anything happens in Israel, he has to leave because of the counsel that he has to give. This is the guide of 180 singers and musicians from all over the United States of America that have been called to release a sound in Israel. This is how much he loves our worship. I tell you all that because I want you to start praying that God will bring singers and musicians to this house of prayer. That as we transition, that singers and musicians and intercessors will come from all over this region and begin to worship God in this house, and that a sound will come up from this house. Many of these gentlemen right here come on Friday for about 2 hours, right? And you've experienced the Lord here. It's been huge a couple times. And they just come to be in the presence of God and read their word. It's amazing. So that's what this offering's all about. What you sow in tonight, and you know what? I'm not trying to get your money. Not at all. You just do what the Lord's called you to do. Keep your tithes into your own church, but bring an offering tonight. And may it advance the singers and musicians and this meeting place for the glory of God. Wasn't this awesome, the worship tonight, just where they went? Those are vessels that fight through everything that you fight through to be before the Lord. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless this offering for your glory and for your honor. We thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. While that's being passed around, I have 7 minutes. And so I'm going to edit, but I just want to make a point here. Many times it takes a lot of courage to wait on the Lord, especially if you're between point A and point B. If the Lord, you know he's called you to something, and you get this calling or you feel led, and then all of a sudden you're on your way to doing what God's called you to do, and on the journey, all of a sudden there's some huge setback or something that just changes everything in your life, and you're going, man, I didn't see that coming. It's in those moments that you have a choice, that you can either wait on the Lord and trust him, or you can begin to complain and murmur. And this complaining thing, I've just felt like the Lord really highlighted it. That's another thing. I think church needs to be more like family than like church. We need to change a lot of that stuff. It's happening. Community is so key to just hang out together. Okay, if you go to Numbers chapter 11, and this is just the story that I just want to kind of highlight a little bit, is when the Israelites, you know, leave Egypt. Everybody pretty much knows that story, and they leave the place of slavery, and they're headed into the promised land, and most of them don't make it. But they begin to complain and murmur about the process and about the journey. And that's what I want to encourage you. Don't murmur about the journey. If you are right now and you're complaining, just wage war against your complaints. And because I'll be honest with you, when you trust God, you don't have room to complain. And trust and complaining, they don't make good roommates. But I'll tell you, the one that's going to stay, the one you give the home to, the one you allow is going to stay. So you've got to begin to wage war against your complaining, your negative words, negative things you say, and start trusting the Lord and be one who speaks positive all the time. Now, that's going to take a while because the enemy loves for you to just slime people and yourself. And so you got to get away from that. God knows it. He understands that, you know, you've been hurt. He understands wounds and things, but he doesn't want you to be a complainer. He wants you to be an overcomer. So on your journey, when things begin to change and life changes begin to hit you in the face, and what I mean by that is some of the things that I'm talking about, like all of a sudden, man, you're going along and someone says, I'm sorry, but we've just eliminated your job. That's like, what? That's like, but, you know, Lord, what? I'm trusting you. We just eliminated your job. Sorry. the test results came back and your tumor is malignant. You're on this journey. I'm sorry, I don't love you anymore. And we go back to what Londa said about finding the value, the love of God in your life is what values you. I'm talking about things like that. I want to let you know, Mommy and Dad, they're getting a divorce. We're getting a divorce. I know those are terrible things to say, but they're really, it's what happens. You're on this journey, you're doing fine, you feel like you are, then all of a sudden something hits you and it just turns you upside down. And it's in those places that you have to have courage to wait on the Lord and let Him heal you and let Him lead you out of that and get to where you need to be. And you're not going to find that in any man or woman. You're going to find that only in God. So I just encourage you, in tough transitions, undesired seasons, I call them. I didn't ask for this. How am I in this place, you know? How did I get here? But God is the one that can get you out and move you forward. But you got to let it. I have a saying, time, truth, and fruit never lies. Time, truth, and fruit never lies. And you got to give yourself a waiting time on the Lord and live in the truth of God. And then the fruit of your life will begin to manifest. I remember when God started blessing my life, and some people that knew me from the past, they were like, man, you know, Bob's really blown it. He's never going to be anything. He's not going to make it. He's really messed up. I thought he was going to do good. And, you know, and I remember 30 years old in a boat, unemployed, fishing. That's all. You always go fishing for some reason when you ain't got nothing going on. You go fishing. Not all the time. I love to fish. But you're fishing and you're going, what happened? What am I going to do? And you begin to trust the Lord and you realize God gave me a vision and I'm going to live it out no matter what. I'm going to war. I'm going to fight for it. And then all of a sudden the fruit of God begins to manifest in your life because you're trusting God and you're not trusting yourself and you're not trusting man and you're not trusting the system. You're trusting the kingdom of God. But you got to allow that to have time in your life. You got to allow that to be fruitful. You got to stay on the healing path. So in Numbers chapter 11, 5 and 6, you see the Israelites are traveling and they're trying to make it through the wilderness. And all of a sudden, verse 5, they say, remember the fish we used to eat, which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Nothing but manna. Been around a while, you heard the song Manna Bagels, Manna Burgers. It was all manna, nothing but manna. And they got disgusted and they got frustrated and they began to murmur and complain. All he was doing was trying to get them to a place that they had total dependence on him, that he would be their provision through in the midst of the wilderness. That's all he was doing, but they could not get it. He eventually supplied meat for them. But they started thinking about, I think it was better when I was in slavery. And that's exactly how the enemy plays with your mind. I think it was better when I used to do those things. They were delivered from slavery. They were promised the promised land. The journey wasn't easy. They traveled in circles for decades, and all you hear is complaining about their existence. I'm going to bypass most of this, and I just want to say this. Examine your heart tonight when you leave this place, maybe even in the midst of a closing prayer. And do everything you can to wage war against a complaining spirit. This is a truth that I wrote down. Israelites were more acclimated to the slavery in Egypt or to the world than they were the presence and the character of God. And I'm afraid that that's an urgent statement. I believe many of us are more acclimated to the ways of the world than we are the presence and the character and the kingdom of the Lord. I believe the Lord is saying, come away with me, my beloved. I believe the scripture, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Turn from their wicked ways. Seek my face. I'll bring healing. I believe God is saying all these things so loud to us right now. Because he doesn't want us to walk away from him, but to move toward him. The wilderness experience, whatever you're going through right now, that experience is intended to shape you. It's intended to refine you. It's intended to really create a community of people that trust in God, no matter what's taken away from us, in the good and the bad. Because he's preparing every one of us to enter into the promised land. He's coming. So the land in between is the last thing. The land in between where you started and where you know the Lord's taking you. The land in between, the wilderness, is prime real estate for you if you'll embrace it. If people call you names or say bad things about you, if you turn to the Lord and trust his ways and trust him, God will see you through and give honor to his name and bless you. Why don't you guys stand? I'd like for you to close your eyes, if you would, just for a minute. And I just kind of want it really quiet in here. And I'm just going to ask the Lord to speak to you. And I'm going to ask that you would speak to him. Lord Jesus, we just come before you. And I ask that tonight, God, that you would help us to trust you more, that we would build a relationship of trust, that you would forge us and mold us into who we need to be, that we wouldn't allow a murmuring, complaining spirit to have its way in our lives and take up residence in our hearts. So Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the divine healer, would you come and speak to us tonight? Will you bring confidence tonight to those that have suffered great, great disappointments? Will you help them to maneuver through it and to wait upon you and trust you, Lord? Just with every eye is closed, just listen for a minute. Lord, I just come before them and pray over them and ask that you would keep speaking. And I beseech them and myself to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that there would be one body and one Spirit who are called in one hope, the hope of your calling, Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the worship. Thank you for the joy. I thank you for your truth, Lord. And that you would root us and ground us in your love. That we wouldn't be tossed about anymore. That we'd become solid. That we would stand on the rock. That we wouldn't give in to the trickery of men. Thank you, God, for these men and women that love you. Bring healing tonight. And if there's anyone that has not laid their life down for you, I ask that tonight they would say yes to you and receive you as their Lord and Savior. That you died for them, that every sin can be forgiven tonight if they just ask you to come into their heart and forgive them of their sin. Thanks, Lord. You're so good. Now may every man and woman love the way you love, and may we have your compassion in your heart, and that we wouldn't be corrupted by the lusts of this world. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. I believe in a stronghold of thankfulness, so why don't you guys just praise him and thank him right now. Just thank the Lord right now. Any way you want to. Any way you want to. Yes, thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Help us, Lord. Thank you. We love you, we love you, we love you, and we thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you. So good. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and go in peace and have a great night in the Lord.